Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
We are pleased to be joined in this next part of our program by Baltimore City Council President Stephanie Rawlings Blake, who will this Thursday be sworn in as our next mayor of the city of Baltimore. Council President, soon to be Mayor Rawlings Blake, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The number here is 410-319-8888. We were just talking about how you just saw, what Anthony and I were talking just off mic about how you were at the State of the Union, I guess, there to hear President Barack Obama.
Yes, I was. It was very exciting.
And you were down in Annapolis today to hear Governor Martin O'Malley give his State of the State address.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if you would reflect upon us, and many of you know we don't expect you to give your entire address here in the next half an hour, to talk to us about what you think, given that you're about to become mayor of the city, what the state of the city is. Where do you think we are? What do you think we have to be thinking and looking at? And what do you, that you need to talk to us about?
You know, the state of the city is similar to the state of the state as well as the state of our country. You know, we have a budget deficit of over $120 million. And I think sometimes people, that so many numbers get blown around, millions and billions. People don't understand what that means. That's the equivalent of our entire fire department.
Really?
The equivalent of half of our police force. And the equivalent of 2,200 employees. That is our deficit for next year. So I walk in the door inheriting this issue that I need to deal with.
Can you give us an inkling of your thoughts about how do you think we should begin to deal with this issue of $122 million deficit?
I think we started to do some of the things already with the furlough plan, with the hiring freeze, spending freeze. I'm looking at ways in the mayor's office as I walk into the mayor's office to look for ways to do salary savings and to make sure that our office is lean and efficient. I believe very strongly that we have to be effective but also efficient. We have to make sure that we are taking cuts before we ask any other agency to do the same.
Tell us, Madam President, about... Are there any specific, maybe this isn't fair since you don't become mayor until Thursday, but are there any specific areas? There have been some reports about you're looking at cable and communications. Are you looking across the board? I know a lot of agency heads are giving reports to your transition teams. Are you looking for efficiencies?
Yeah, I'm looking for efficiencies, and that is what I've asked the transition team to do. I have 151 of the best and brightest stakeholders in our city that are helping me with a transition report. And one of the things I've asked them to do is look for efficiencies, look for ways that we can get the best bang for our buck, and look for ways that we are being wasteful so we can correct those problems. We don't have extra money hanging around. We have to close this deficit, and it's going to mean making tough decisions. So I'm also looking to hear from them about, what they think as a collective about the priorities. You know, the city is going through this outcome budgeting right now, and part of it is determining what the priorities are for the city and then matching the spending levels to that. I want to use the transition process, the transition advisors, to mirror that process.
And there was a lot we face here. I mean, the people have talked about raising taxes in the city, which I think that many people are opposed to because I think many of the homeowners just don't know how they're going to pay the freight they have now.
Of course.
So, I mean, how do we begin to deal with creating revenues in the city during your tenure? I mean, do you support? It was interesting to hear in this earlier segment, State Senator Catherine Pugh was talking about that we need more gambling. We need more gambling revenues and expanding it to casinos. Almost she was talking about
table games.
Games. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that's in our future?
I think it makes sense, particularly with the advanced technology in the video lottery terminals. There's going to be very little difference with the new machines that are available now between those and table games. And when you think about the additional revenue that could come into the city if we were to have table games, I think it makes sense to examine it. And you spoke about revenues, Mark. I just want to say that before I start talking about revenues, I'm looking to make sure that we are spending efficiently. You know, I want to make sure that that you know, if it's employees, if it's spending, if it's you know anything that we're spending money on, I want to make sure that we're doing it right before I start to have a conversation about enhancing revenues.
Madam President, let me ask you the question about the relationship. There is an enormous amount of power about to be vested in your hands and responsibility. Some people we've talked to, John Willis and others, who say that the mayor's office, the position of mayor in the city of Baltimore, is one of the strongest mayoralties in the nation. And you're just coming from your leadership role with the Baltimore City Council. What role do you see your colleagues on the council playing as you look at making government much more effective and efficient?
One of the things I have said consistently is, you know, I'm changing the floor in City Hall that I'm working. I'm not changing. I'm not going to become a different person. I believe in collaboration. I believe in working to find mutual wins. I think that is what has helped me in my leadership role on the council. So I'm going to be looking for the council members to be good partners. We have to make some tough decisions. And yes, the Baltimore City government is a strong mayoral form of government, but it is not a monarchy. You know, I need the council to make some of these decisions with me so we can reduce our budget gap.
Soon to be Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake joins us here, Anthony McCarthy and I, here on the Mark Steiner Show at 410-319-8888. Your opportunity to talk with our incoming mayor before she becomes mayor in really less than 24 hours. Or you can write to us here at steinershow at gmail.com, 410-319-8888. Did I interrupt you, Anthony? We were about to ask.
No, go ahead.
There are a lot of transitions going on here, and I wonder, politically speaking, if you have anything to say about all the issues surrounding this battle over who's going to take your place on the president of the city council. I mean, clearly most people seem to think it's going to be Jack Young at this point. People in the news, other news media, raising the issues: is he really a city resident? Does he live in Harford County? Does he live in Baltimore County? That has been raised on Channel 11 the other night.
I didn't hear that last part that you just said.
That it has been raised by Rudy Miller.
Mm-hmm. Judy Miller.
Jane Miller. Good Lord.
Wow.
Jane Miller. So let's get our Millers right.
That report ran tonight.
That Jack Young actually had a residence in Harford County. People were trying to raise the issue: is he actually a city resident or a county Harford County resident? And all that's A and B. All the conversation in the Sun about people who have supported you and Governor Martin O'Malley, kind of pushing Bill Cole's nomination to the presidency. What are your thoughts about all that?
Yeah, I think every time there's a decision about council president, council vice president, it is it tends to be contentious because there can only be one president. I've done my best to stay neutral. I think that it's the right thing to do for the council to make the decision on its own, and I know that the good thing for me is I have great working relationships with so many of the council members that I'm just focused on moving forward, working with my colleagues, trying to deal with this deficit, trying to focus on job creation. There's so much that I'm focused on in the transition. I haven't really spent a lot of mental energy on the transition on the fourth floor.
Have you, speaking of transition, it's been reported in The Sun and Fox 45 last night that decisions have been made about who's staying and going, Madam President. Have you made a decision? Can you make public? Are you keeping the deputy mayor system that has been set up by now Governor O'Malley? What kind of changes are we going to see when you assume leadership on Thursday?
I'm keeping the deputy mayor structure, but it will be tweaked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for ways to make sure that I've got all the bases covered. We mm-hmm. need to make sure the public safety and operations is covered when it comes to deputy mayor, as well as economic and neighborhood development. There's also a human development component that we'll be working on throughout the transition. So there will be some changes in the structure as Mayor Dixon set up, but the there will still be deputy mayors.
Mm-hmm. What's the, who can you tell us is staying or going from the old administration to, into yours?
Deputy Mayor Thomas Cuddy will be staying. Deputy Mayor Frank.
Be staying as deputy mayor?
Yes.
Interesting. So can you tell us who you think about bringing in?
Not yet.
Okay. just checking. I mean, you have some we've met a number of people on your staff. I mean, there's some interesting people on your staff. That's why we're all curious to see who comes over with you. Into,
my staff is all of them are coming with me.
Oh, all of them are coming with you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you have some talented people around you, and I say that personally because I happen to know them, whether it's Kim or Calliope or others. Tell us, what are you looking for? I mean, you talked about efficiencies. You talked about making sure government is effective. What are you looking for? I mean, Sheila Dixon put a call out and said even as late as at your council meeting earlier this week, council luncheon, and she'll say again, I'm sure, tomorrow at the Board of Estimates, the staff makes all the difference. What are you looking for?
Yeah, I am blessed. I have a fantastic staff of smart, aggressive, committed people that want the best for the city. And I'm looking for more of the same. You know, I know what happens when you get the right people in the right jobs. And you know, I have a big responsibility, and I'm looking to create a team that reflects, the commitment that I have for the city.
I want to ask you another question, and then looking at Mark, I think he has a few questions
as well.
We
have callers.
Oh, we have callers. Okay, we'll let the callers. I want to ask you about the Board of Estimates makeup, so go ahead and prepare yourself for that question. We're going to take some callers.
410-319-8888. This is Mark Steiner. Anthony McCarthy and I are talking with Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, who tomorrow will become the next mayor.
Thursday.
What's today? Tuesday?
Today's Tuesday.
Excuse me, I'm thinking it's Wednesday all day. I'm sorry. On Thursday, we'll become the next mayor of Baltimore. 410-319-8888. Pardon me for my dyslexic being calendar challenged here. Anthony, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Anthony and Mark, and to Madam President. I had the pleasure of meeting you at my favorite coffee house. I think it was this past Saturday. And my colleagues and I, which are clergy in the city of Baltimore, we would love to see more programs to help reach out to help any of the youth that are in Baltimore. What are some of the programs that you're going to actually, try to put into place or to maybe kick them up a little bit to help?
You know, when we have an economic situation like we do, and we have a budget deficit of over $120 million, we have to do things differently. And one of the things that I think is important is creating partnerships with our faith community. I attended a vigil against violence recently, and it was a interfaith service that really focused on, what can the faith community do to stand in the gap, for young kids that don't have parents who know how to attend to their needs, who, may need help in their schools. And there were some fantastic ideas that came up at that service. And I'm looking to follow up with them. I've asked to be invited to one of their upcoming meetings, so I can look for creative ways that we can create these partnerships. I recently spoke to Susan Taylor, formerly of Essence Magazine, and she talked to me about her mentoring program with churches and other religious organizations. And what they do is they adopt, if it's a small church, they adopt a class. If it's a large church or a medium-sized church, they might adopt a grade. And if it's a large church, they would adopt a school. And that's everything from providing mentorship to kids to school supplies to help supplement what the teachers or what the school system can provide for the kids. It means wrapping the community around our young people. So that's the kind of thing that I'm going to be looking for, those types of creative partnerships so we can leverage all of the resources that we have in the city to create a better future for our kids.
410-319-8888. Mitchell, you're on the air.
Yes, how you doing?
Welcome, Mitchell.
Okay, how you doing? I'm piggybacking on the last caller. I'm somebody that works as a football coach in Baltimore and deal with the young kids. My question to Ms. Rawlings is that what is the pros and the cons of having slots and tables coming in here? And I understand you said you didn't want to talk about revenue, but everybody seems to keep on focusing on slots. What good or bad can come of it if you yay for it or nay for it, as far as the repercussions? meaning does the cause justify the means? And you're talking about kids and so forth and encourage them and all that, but at the same time, I work with kids where their parents constantly squander money and they don't have money for football equipment and everything like that. So letting slots in and all that, does that justify the repercussions of the crime and everything to come in?
Having that available revenue as an option is not going to change the behaviors of individuals who have an addiction to gambling. And that's why it's important that legislation provides for a certain percentage of the proceeds from the slot to go to addiction counseling, gambling addiction counseling, and that is very important. I know, just like with the lottery and other forms of gambling, horse racing, that some people are ill-prepared to enter one of those venues because of a dependence on gambling and irresponsibility about gambling. So it's important to have those resources available. That being said, a lot of people do it for entertainment. My father's mother used to get on the bus with her girlfriends and go to Atlantic City and play the slots and have a good time, and it was enjoyment. She certainly wasn't addicted. She had a good time with her friends. It was her way to have a reasonably priced getaway. And there was revenue built from that. That's what we're looking for. I'm certainly not interested in destroying lives, but I know for a fact, you look in the parking lots of these venues outside of our jurisdiction, and you will see Maryland license plates. So we know our citizens are playing. Just other jurisdictions are getting the benefit from it.
There's been, Madam President, a move for years in conversations and questions about the makeup of our Board of Estimates, and the mayor, the comptroller, and the city council president also serve with the solicitor and the director of public works. There is a move on the council now to strip those non-elected positions off the Board of Estimates. You're opposed to that, correct?
I don't think it makes for an effective government.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's anything to show differently. I'm looking forward to the hearing process, to hearing from my colleagues about their concerns. I am a strong proponent of making sure that people have information about what the city is spending money on. I think that's, I do the best that I can as I've been chair of the Board of Estimates to get that information out, to work with the comptroller's office, to have people's questions answered. I've often asked for items on the agenda to be postponed or delayed so we could make sure that people had their questions answered. If they had an opposition to something, that they had an opportunity to share their concerns. That's what's important. I think the question about the composition, you can't have an executive whose hands are tied and think that you're going to move the city forward. And that's what I think this proposal would do.
410-319-8888, our first opportunity to talk to Stephanie Rawlings-Blake as she prepares to assume the mayoralty of the city of Baltimore. I'm here with my co-host, Anthony McCarthy, at 410-319-8888. And, Kevin, you're on the air.
Hey, Mrs. Rawlings. The only thing that concerns me, which is a lot concerning me, is the $800 million that I read in the paper that the city has lost in the pension fund. And where is that going to be made up for? And I see that in the next coming years, we're going to have to come up with $200 million. Could you address that?
Yeah, we have to do something about particularly a fire and police pension. And I've asked, along with Councilman Cole, we've asked GBC to work with experts in the field of pension reform, finance, as well as our fire and police unions to come up with some solutions to our short-term issue when it comes to we're on the tab for about $64 million unless we change the structure of our fire and police pension system, and that's before the end of this fiscal year. We have to deal with that. There's no escaping it. And I'm looking forward to working with them and with the council, because it will take legislation to provide a dignified retirement that the city can afford.
410-319-8888 is the number here as we talk with Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, who's about to become our next mayor of the city of Baltimore. And Aaron, you're on the air. Hi, Aaron, you there?
I am. How are you, Mark?
Welcome. Good to have you with us. Thank you.
Good to be with you. I was listening in to the conversation about some of the problems with slots, and there was a conversation about addiction and that sort of issue.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is more regarding the regressive nature of slots. The Baltimore City slots proposal is supposed to provide property tax relief. And what I would note is that people who play slots tend to be poorer, and people who play who pay property taxes tend to be wealthier. And this is sort of the George W. Bush steal from the poor, give to the rich kind of policy, and it just doesn't seem appropriate for Baltimore City.
Well, it seemed appropriate for more than 60% of the voters who supported it. And, you know, I'm looking forward to working with the Slots Commission to get our venue going so we can take advantage of the money for school construction and for property tax reduction, which will help us create a demand for. We have a significant number of homes that are vacant in this city. We need to create a demand for that. And when our property taxes are so out of sync with the other jurisdictions around that surround us, we cannot be competitive. So we have to find a way to reduce our property tax so we can get more people into the city, so we can strengthen the foundation of our revenue base.
The solution is not necessarily a regressive policy. So if your concern is vacant, you can raise the property tax on vacants and use that as an incentive to force the owners of those vacants to either repair them or give them up.
I think that there are plenty of ways to deal with vacant property. Raising the tax on vacant property would take a piece of legislation, one like the one that's already passed, to create the video lottery terminals. You know, we took it to the voters. They think that we should move forward, and I intend to honor the majority of the citizens and make sure that we have an opportunity to take advantage of that revenue.
Aaron, we'll promise you we'll get back to a show on slots in the city sometime very soon in the future. Let's try to get one of the callers in here before Anthony and I have a final question and we move on to the next hour and let soon-to-be Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake go on with her day. 410-319-8888. Lillian, you're on the air.
Hello.
Welcome.
And congratulations, Ms. Rawlings.
Thank you very much.
My question is, trash pickup. Is it any way possible we could go back to the 2 days?
It's very hard when we have a deficit of over $120 million to create an additional expense. We shaved about $7 million off of the city's budget by creating the single stream recycling and the one day trash, one day recycling. That is a cost savings. So if we were to go back to that system, that would mean additional layoffs because we'd have to find, you know, on top of the over $120 million deficit, we'd be adding seven to that. So, you know, is it possible, if someone were to wave a magic wand and close that budget gap and get us some additional revenue, of course, anything is possible, but it is unlikely based on the fiscal condition that we are in the foreseeable future.
One final thought before we have to go to break and let you go is, could you define for us the deepest significance in terms of difference between what you will bring to the office as mayor and to the former administration of Mayor Sheila Dixon?
Yeah, I always feel like it's up to the people I serve to make those type of judgments. I work my hardest to give my, all of myself, every ounce of energy I have in brain power, fortitude, and passion about the city to do my job. I did that as council person, as council president. I intend to do it as mayor, and I'll let the people decide what the biggest difference is.
Soon to be Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, still city council president. Thank you so much for being with us. We look forward to talking to you on the other side of your taking the oath of office.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Good luck, Madam President.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We're just joined by Stephanie Rawlings-Blake. Anthony McCarthy and I were here, and we will have her on again, and we'll cover what's going on with her assuming that office. And
very calm, cool demeanor. Isn't that something?
She's always had that.
Yeah. Very straightforward. Very interesting, different personal style than the former mayor.
It'll be interesting to see who actually assumes president of city council and how this administration will go. And there will be a battle over this bill in the city council about how many people will be on the board of estimates, which will change the nature of the power of the mayor if that should succeed.
Mark, I got a text, and of course we need to verify it. But it appears that Bill Cole has withdrawn his name from consideration as city council president. And so it appears that Jack Young will probably be elected unanimously come Monday the 8th at the next city
council. Will they wait till Monday the 8th or do it immediately after Stephen Rawlings Blake is made
mayor? Wait till Monday. The vice president, Ed Reisinger, will assume the duties until Monday and preside over the meeting until a president is elected.
Always good to have your astute thoughts on the city.
And good contacts.
And good contacts. You're the man with the best contacts in the city. Anthony McCarthy and I will be back in just a minute. I'm going to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorder Center, providing clinical research trials and evaluating new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advanced stages of disease. The number for more information for the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorder Center is 1-800-492-5538. We will return with a leader of the conservative thinkers in Maryland, Brian Griffiths of Red Maryland, and Otis Rawley of the Center Maryland, to talk about their reflections on the future of the state and what they thought Governor Martin O'Malley said. And we'll hear clips from that speech as well. Anthony and I will be right back.